The following takes place between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Everybody, and welcome to FPC Radio Live. It is Friday, February the 21st, 2020. That's right, it's our last episode of the week. We're heading into a weekend right ahead of the NHL trade deadline. And without further ado, I would like to bring in my co-host. He is the Mr. Mike Debate. He is Mr. Rhode Island. He is Mr. Universe. He is Mr. Million Dollar Man. Mike, how are we doing today?
La, la, la.
Yeah, there you go.
How you doing, buddy? How's everything going? Oh, how are you? Yes.
It's good. It's good. There you go. Oh, it's been a mess this morning, buddy. I'm not going to lie. I've been discombobulated. Things weren't working correctly when we tried to start the show. It's been a test of my wills to get ready, but I could not miss another show this week. We had to close it out strong and head into next week ready to go.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just there's a lot going around right now. No matter what part of the country that you are, it just seems like everybody's fighting something. Whether it was me earlier on in the week, I know you've had your issues and whatnot. Earlier, this week and yesterday, we wish you all the best, my friend, and a good mutual friend, Thomas Murphy, as well, who might be listening this morning. But if he is, he should be resting. Poor guy, he's fighting something too. So sending good karma to anyone out there right now that is fighting some sort of cold or bug or anything like that. Not a fun time, but unfortunately it's the season for it, and just put your head down, nose to the grindstone, and keep getting better. So but that's why we're here. We fight through it, and we're doing what we do for our listeners, and also because we just love to hear the sound of our own voices. So I think that, you know, in a lot of ways that really comes out in the wash. So
that's all good stuff, buddy. That's kind of the main thing for me personally, is I just like to hear myself speak. And if you were watching on Sportscaster just a minute ago, we had a special third co-host. It was my cat crawling across my desk. So hey, those are the kind of things you have to deal with when you work 5 feet from your bed. So it's nice. I know that was a little humble brag there, because I'm sure people
are
cussing now as they kick the snow from underneath the tire wells and get ready for another day's worth of work while I stay here and drink my warm coffee and barely move from my bed. So it's nice. But it's look, we had I've been talking about it the last couple times we've been on the show, previewing what we have going on the NHL side of things. And if you didn't tune in during the Bruins game the other day, we had a live broadcast with our guy Chris Mancuso. He was talking Bruins while the game was going on our Sportscaster page. It just flashed up there on the screen. So if you didn't see it, check it out. It's at Full Press NHL on Sportscaster. So sportscaster.com/FullPressNHL. And we have a lot of great things planned coming up. And I'm gonna plug our first episode. It's going to be a weekly thing. However, with the trade deadline this Monday, we're going to have a special debut of Pardon the Puck. And we got potentially some very special guests lined up. So check it out. Go over to, again, sportscaster.com/FullPressNHL. And of course, follow FPC NHL on Twitter. It's at FPC_NHL for all updates and stuff like that. So a little tease there. I don't want to give away too much. I'm not even going to give anything away to you until we're off the air. So
I'm looking forward to it. As a pure fan of hockey and someone that doesn't cover it or the intricate knowledge that you guys, of course, Mancuso and everybody that works for Full Press NHL, I'm so honored to be your colleagues, and you guys do an amazing job covering a sport that I love to follow as a fan. So I'm looking forward to it. The NHL trade deadline, in my opinion, is one of the more underrated days in professional sports. There's a flurry of activity. I love the way the news breaks. It's, to me, it's a little bit different from the NBA and the NHL and even Major League Baseball, in the fact that a lot of these under the radar moves are the ones that end up propelling teams toward a Stanley Cup run. And I think that this is something that you can really, really see. And you're going to see probably a lot of those moves made on Monday. So I'm looking forward to it. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the coverage.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And again, I'm hoping that my voice is ready because it's going to be a lot of coverage on Monday. And we're going to have Chris on actually this show Monday morning to talk some NHL trade deadline.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You know, hey, we got to get some coverage as the last few hours approach. And you're right. You know, as a kid and as a fan of hockey, I've always loved the NHL trade deadline. It was always a big eventful day. It's over the last few years, it's become more of a long stretch and basically the finish line to basically a long month or so of trade speculation, because we've already seen plenty of trades go down already. Bigger names get moved before the trade deadline. So I'm sure there's going to be several moves made that day. But in the past, I know it was always like boom, boom, boom. You couldn't take your eyes away from the computer. I mean, this was before Twitter was really a thing. So, you know, news wasn't sitting there breaking. You were basically refreshing whatever NHL webpage you visited or watching. I wouldn't even say ESPN. I mean, this is hockey here, so we're not talking about NFL or NBA coverage. We're talking about, you know, bottom third, back page type coverage. But, you know, there were sites out there, obviously, that you go to if you were a big hockey aficionado, that, you know, you would kind of get those updates as quick as they come in. So that was always fun. And I'm looking forward to Monday and being able to cover it and talk some hockey for several hours and hopefully have a voice by the end of it. Because if not, we might be only having one episode of FPC Radio next week. And it's Monday morning. We'll see.
No, I think you'll be all right. Definitely, you know, drink some tea with honey and lemon. The throat coat by Yogi, I heard, is very, very good. So if you have any opportunity to pick that up, cheap plug there, I know, but that's helped me over the course of the last couple of days, seriously, and that will help to bring back you know, a little bit of the luster in that voice. But I alluded earlier to you know, covering the NHL and whatnot. I did have a chance to actually cover it very briefly when FPC NHL was in its real infancy stages, and you know, we were doing some of the coverage, and I actually helped you cover the trade deadline, our first trade deadline as an entity for FPC. And it was fun. And you talk about the moves that are made, you can't take your eyes off, even with Twitter at our disposal and even with all of the moves that were being made, that ticker just kept, I remember updating our page over and over again about trades. And just when I thought I'd have a moment to relax or a moment to kick back and say, okay, well, there's that flurry, it's probably going to be a little bit, something else pops in. These moves are just, you know, they come fast and furious at times. So that was definitely a fun time. I enjoyed that. And I'm looking forward to being on the other end of it this time and watching the coverage instead of having to keep a diligent eye. Now I can keep a fan's eye on it. And I encourage you all to check it out. The FPC NHL page is growing exponentially, you know, under this man's leadership. Now we have Mancuso in the fold, and I think that, you know, the job that you and Blackie do with the Big Bad Bruins, there's so much. The Leafs page was a flurry of Twitter activity on there last night. If you're a fan of NHL hockey, definitely check out FPC NHL, folks. I can't recommend it high enough.
And Mike just earned his month's pay right there with that.
There we go, right there.
Same. So well done. You don't have to promote anything for the rest of the month. So sit back.
Absolutely.
Kick back,
thank
relax.
You very much. But much like George Costanza, I'm going to end on a high note. I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk away from the table right now. Leave them wanting more, folks. Not kidding.
No, look, we wouldn't promote and push something if we didn't believe in it. And yes, just because we're involved to some capacity, but you know, may make us a little biased. But again, we anticipate a great show on Monday, both this show and, of course, our Part in the Puck debut, which will be a trade deadline special. And then, of course, we will kind of hammer out and let everyone know what the weekly premiere date will be every week, because it's going to be a fun show and we got a lot of great plans for it. So, but enough with our plugs. we'll plug the rest of the way, but let's focus on the here and now.
I hereby dedicate this building to myself.
I saw that was great, by the way, one of my favorite movies. Okay, so maybe we're not going to get to sports right away, because one of my favorite movies, Back to School, popped up on Twitter among some of our mutual followers, and anytime that comes into play, there's so much about that movie that I love. I don't even know where to start. That's how much I love that movie.
Well, you know, I actually think this will lend into our sports discussion because I was the one that started this firestorm last night, and that actually got a pretty good. It actually got a pretty good. Absolutely, yes. Send your well wishes and flowery thoughts to me, folks, and thank me for bringing Thornton Mellon back into your life on a very mundane Thursday
evening.
What a
name, but Thornton Mellon.
I mean, this is Mr. Thornton Mellon, the walking epitome of the decline of modern education. I'm going to cut it there because I could continue to go on and hey, watch it, Sherlock. But in any case, I started that firestorm last night on Twitter because we were talking about a lot. The new proposed rules, proposed changes to the NFL collective bargaining agreement. And there's a lot of opinions back and forth going on and on. And the big news that broke yesterday afternoon is that the owners approved their proposal. Well, to me, that's kind of like much ado about nothing. Yeah. Of course, they're going to approve it. It was their proposal. Yeah. It's like these elections around the country for these dictatorships. Oh, he won unanimous. Well, yeah, there's a gun to somebody's head, you know, forcing them to vote that way. So, you know, naturally, I mean, they're going to approve it. So to me, not that that's going on in the NFL, to my knowledge, that hasn't happened since the 70s. But no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, folks.
Conspiracy
but
theorist Mike case, is back.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Tinfoil hat Mike is back. And, you know, it reminded the first thing that popped into my head when I heard the proposal, the owners approve their own proposal was the scene in Back to School where Rodney Dangerfield's got the shovel and I hereby dedicate this building to myself. Yeah, I mean that's exactly what you're doing. You're basically like propping, you're pumping your own tires. So I think that will lend us into something that I'm sure we're going to talk about today, and that is the new proposed changes to the collective bargaining agreement and what it means for both parties.
Yes, and to kind of loosely bring it back to school, I just want to talk about the transition into that scene because that's one of my favorite, the subtle things that make me laugh, and that's the negotiation with the dean inside the dean's office, and the dean's telling Thornton that, you know, he's far too old, the semester's already started, and there's just no possible way that he can be a student, and then you do the quick, and here will lie the Thornton Mellon School of Business.
Exactly.
Ned
Beatty playing Dean Martin in that. And yes. Any time that you can incorporate Dean Martin into anything, an Italian's going to love that movie anyway. So that's right, Dean Martin. In any case, great stuff. Great scene. Just excellent. You know, well done. And, you know, again, one of my favorite movies of all time. Anybody that's listened to this show knows my affinity for Rodney Dangerfield and his stand-up act and his comedy. So, yeah, I thought that was a great way to describe it. But, again, I think it does. It brings it back nicely to the owners, the players, and this CBA now that is really starting to fester a little bit. We heard rumblings. I think it's worthy for our listeners to know that the actual CBA is not up this year. It's up next year.
Yeah.
It's up in 2021. So they're not under the gun to do this in terms of a lockout or anything like that. If there's no agreement, there's still going to be football this year, folks. They're not going to lock these guys out early. But at the same time, it's also very, I think, encouraging for a lot of these people, a lot of these people. I think it's encouraging for both sides that they're willing to negotiate this soon. However, mm-hmm. if you saw some of the news last night that broke from the Players Association, I think these might not go as smooth as people think. But there are still, those out there that believe this is going to get ratified as soon as today. So, you know, who knows? Who really, really knows for sure?
And as you bring us forward, I just bring us right back because real quick, I want to mention one more thing about Back to School. It's funny that you brought it up and you made some great points about the CBA, and I'm going to touch on that real, real quick in a minute. But there was something else going around Twitter talking about range with actors and, you know, people would post 4 photos, you know, of different roles that different actors have played. It didn't really go viral too much, but I did see it pop up a few times. And I actually thought I thought about Robert Downey Jr. And one of the things that popped into my mind was I could use that. I could use Robert Downey Jr. from Back to School as one of the photos because it's like, man, who remembers him in that movie? I mean, I do because I love that movie. But so, and then it's funny that you brought up, you ended up bringing up Back to School. So again, more evidence of the shared brain theory, which is going to be placed in medical journals worldwide at any time. But
absolutely,
going back,
see, you couldn't do that. You can't do that exercise without Rodney, because I mean, no. Basically, like, you put Rodney, he plays the same character.
Yes.
He's Rodney Dangerfield.
Exactly.
You know, he's a variation of Rodney, but he's Rodney. I mean, you know, you can't really do that. So Robert Downey Jr. would actually be pretty good. Another character in that movie that I don't think you could do that with is William Zabka,
yes.
Who obviously everybody knows him as Johnny from The Karate Kid. And anybody that's seen Cobra Kai, definitely check it out. It's a great show, and he does a great job in it. But again, essentially, Billy kind of plays the same character in every movie that he's in. He's in that. He was also in another great 80s comedy called Just One of the Guys. Anybody who's never seen that, check that out. That's funny too. He essentially plays like the typical 80s bully, and you know, he does that in every movie that he's in. So if you wanted to do like one of those, like a snapshot, that's probably not the actor to do it, but definitely not Rodney. I mean, he's himself no matter what. So
yeah,
the range is not there, but it's the quick wit that we love about Dangerfield.
Of course, that's why he's one of our heroes. I think it's safe to say. No, look, we love Rodney, and we will always talk about Rodney. And you know, it's disappointing. Because on my old computer, I had a plethora, and I often find these things out when I want to use them live, so it really, you know, hurts what I'm trying to do. But I had a plethora of back-to-school quotes, so including things like, you know, when I the football team at my high school was tough. After they sucked the quarterback, they went after the family.
After they sucked the quarterback, they went after his family.
Yeah, so I'm realizing how disappointed I am about that, because I had some good Lou ones in there too. But again, we don't want to get off on a
girls.
Tangent.
This is Lou. Lou, these are girls.
This is turning into the back to school review show.
Yes, exactly.
Once again, there's been several times on this show where I've placed the title into the show, and I've been basically wrong, and we've just not talked about anything that I've actually written. But no, we're gonna get to what we have to, because you brought up a couple good points. There is obviously, when it comes to the CBA, the big things that are really focusing or what's being focused on are obviously the extra game, the 17 games, the adjustment of the pay structure for that 17th game, and of course the addition of two playoff teams, which, you know, I have a mixed reaction to this. At first I looked at this, and you looked at the reaction of some of the players, and you're like, okay, this doesn't seem like a good deal. But then I think about it a little bit, and you got to think not about, you know, guys that spoke out, the J.J. Watts of the world and all that, and not about those guys, but the guys, you know, guys 45 through 53 or 30 through 53 on that roster that don't make this type of money, that don't go and get these endorsement deals and make, you know, twice their NFL salary and outside NFL work. So all of a sudden, this additional minimum of $450,000 for that 17th game is looking pretty good for a lot of these players. Now, you look at a guy like J.J. Watt, who, again, probably, you know, I don't know, off the top of my head, I don't know his salary structure, but I imagine he makes far more than that per game. So, you know, the idea that he's going to have to sacrifice a little bit for the other guys to get a lot, you know, all of a sudden I'm starting to look at this as, okay, maybe this isn't as one-sided as some people have said. I do want to learn more about it and kind of see how this unfolds and see more reaction from people who know a lot more about the intricacies of these things than I do. But, you know, first reaction was I thought it was lopsided. As I looked into it a little bit more, it seems it's not as bad as it seems. Now, I do have problems with things like playoff additions and all that, but, you know, for the most part, I think, you know, hopefully they're on the right track, because no one wants to see these guys have to strike.
Yeah, and I think I actually do believe that cooler heads will prevail. I don't think this is going to come to an impasse the way it did before. Look,
the
Players Association. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you, folks. I appreciate that. But in any case, if the Players Association, and a lot of people are reading a lot into the tea leaves and saying, oh, J.J. Watt came out and said, no, this is not good. And, you know, Richard Sherman criticized the proposals even before they were approved by the owners. So they're not going to tip their hand. They're not going to come out and say, oh, we love this. Let's get a job done. Let's do this and that. You know, it's part of the negotiating tactic that even if there are tenets in that agreement that they could live with, they're not going to tip their hand just yet. And I think a lot of people are hoping that this gets done before free agency, so that way there's a clearer picture of the salary cap and that it might make it easier for teams, Patriots, to be able to tack on, you know, years or maybe even additional monies at the end of contracts. Tom Brady. And, you know, just sorry, folks. You know, I still have that little bit of a tickle in my chest and my throat. But, you know,
BDS?
It doesn't. Yes, it is. Absolutely. I do believe it's it is as BDS. It's very, very prevalent up here. And apparently a lot of idiots that have afternoon radio shows are coming down with it. But, you know, we keep fighting the good fight up here, my friend. But
we'll never quit.
In any case. Absolutely. Never quit. Never forget. But in any case, yes, there are a lot of advantages to trying to get a deal done, primarily when it comes to finance and primarily when it comes to contract negotiations. You mentioned the 17-game season. I'm still on the fence about this. I'll be very honest with you. There are parts of me that, yes, you know, understand that the 17 games that the teams are going to be playing, it's an opportunity for the owners to make money. Let's face it. But, you know, speaking with Tom Murphy yesterday, and Murph and I talked about a little bit, you know, some of the issues that arise with this. It doesn't really give you that warm and fuzzy about worrying about player safety. And for a league that really is so, you know, hell-bent on saying that player safety is our top concern, adding another regular season game to the schedule is yet another opportunity for players to go out there and possibly get injured. Now, all right, I understand it can happen at any other point during a 16-game season, but the rigors your body has to go through for one football game is something that the average human being has no idea what these guys go through just to get themselves on the field in a lot of ways, especially late in the season. You can add another bye. That may help a little bit. You take away the preseason game, in my opinion, that does nothing. You know, these preseason games, the starters and the meaningful players are not going to play meaningful minutes anyway. In the case of the final preseason game, most of them suit up, but they don't take one snap. So you're not really saving the wear and tear on the players that you're going to be seeing in the playoffs. Now, the apparently I haven't healed up completely yet, folks, so thank you. But the playoff structure, to me, this is one that I've started to warm to a little bit more, much like yourself. When I first saw this, I said, why would they do anything to change the playoff structure? The NFL playoff structure is exactly what we love about it. It has the wild card games, wild card weekends, the build up, the amount of teams. But from an owner's perspective, you can understand that. And again, I'm quoting Murph a lot, but he made great points yesterday when I talked to him. You look at the markets that weren't in the playoffs this year. Neither Los Angeles team, neither New York team. Those are the two big markets, let's face it. You know, Dallas wasn't in the playoffs this year. I think a lot of people in the inner workings of the NFL are looking at this and saying, we really need to get these teams back into this or some type of market back in to be able to increase revenue and to be able to give them a playoff spot. So that's one of those things. That's right. Yep. Ted DiBiase is running the show up in Manhattan, folks. He is running these meetings. And after every point, he's given that $1 million laugh. But, you know, that to me is the benefit for the owners, but the benefit for the players is the bonuses that they can receive by getting to the playoffs. I was a little bit surprised to see that the first round bye is going to be taken away from one team per conference. Guaranteed, you have to do that if you're going to increase the amount of teams that play. However, I think it's going to cause some problems at the end of the season, where if you have one team that's wrapped up that first round bye, all of a sudden it doesn't really make for some meaningful games at the end of the year, which means you're going to be seeing some of these players sitting a lot more than maybe you saw them in the past. Maybe that's the trade-off for some of the health concerns. But to me, if you're a league that's worried about the bottom line, you know, week 17 or week 16 may see a lot of the starters sitting, and that's not going to make the fans happy. So there's a lot to consider. There's a lot to think about here. Don't just be, you know, bewitched by all of the stuff that you're seeing on this, you know, platform right now. wait for the negotiations to happen, because I think there's still going to be a lot of back and forth here before this thing gets done.
No, and to be honest, that's one thing I'm actually not warming to at all, to be honest with you. And you mentioned teams that didn't make it into the playoffs. You know, my solution, do better. You know,
I agree with you.
Why should we reward them for incompetence or inability to grow a team or impatience? I mean, look at the Los Angeles Rams. They were so eager to make a splash and throw all this money at this quote-unquote super team that, you know, now all of a sudden they look – their future is somewhat dim. You know, I don't believe that they're going to turn it around too quickly, especially given their lack of capital, i.e. draft picks. So to me, why should we reward and put more teams in the playoffs? I think you said it best. The NFL playoff structure is what we love about it. And furthermore, when you only give one team a bye, it creates such an advantage for just one team in the conference. And, like, you know, again, we understand that the byes are earned by the two best teams in the conference, and I think they're deserved. I think you go through the regular season, it gives you incentive to play and win all these games. You know what I mean? Like, you earn that, and if you give that to just one team, I feel like it's just going to create a lopsided, because it's not like you have and look, you coming off it, you get a bye, it doesn't guarantee you jack, all right? But you know, when you get an extra week's worth of rest in the playoffs and you're the only team to do it, then, yeah, it gives you a significant advantage, especially if, say, there's the second seed that, you know, the difference in record or winning percentage is negligible. It's, you know what I mean? It just, to me, I don't like it. I don't know if I'm going to warm to that necessarily. I mean, I can hear all the justifications in the world about a 17-game season. I may not agree with it, but at least I can, you know, eventually, you know, kind of, you know, go with it and be like, okay, whatever, it is what it is. And, you know, if these guys are getting an extra a paycheck, and if these guys that are at the bottom of the roster are making nearly half their whole salary in the final regular season game, then, yeah, you know, I'm all for it. But, you know, to me, it's unnecessary to change the playoff arrangement in my eyes. I think they have the perfect number of teams that make the playoffs. They have the perfect setup where they have the two top teams making it. Yes, sometimes a team with a worse record is going to host a team with a better record. It happens. You know, it's part of it. It just deal with it. I don't think that's an issue, but you know, apparently people think it needs to change. I just, you know, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to warm up to that, to be honest with you, the playoff thing.
And I understand that. I completely understand where you're coming from. The bad news that I have for you, my buddy, is that from everyone that I've spoken to connected to this, that's really the tenet that the owners are really most adamant about, is the playoff structure.
Let's,
I think,
let's put it this
a
way.
Lot of people. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Like a lot of people implemented the shootout in hockey, and doesn't mean I have to like it and will ever like it, because it's been, you know, 15, 16 years now, and I still hate it. So, you know, talk to me in 16 years, and, you know, when we're obviously still doing the show.
And, of course.
Of course.
But, no, exactly. Well, that's making the assumption I'm still going to be around here in 16 years.
Whoa. You're going to live to be 150, Mike. Right?
Arrangement takes years off the end of the life, but no, I plan on being here for a long time, folks. Don't worry. But getting back to that point, that seems to be the tenet that the owners are most adamant about, is the playoff structure. And that surprises me. I really thought it would be the 17-game season, making this the season a little bit longer, giving the opportunity for fans to come in for an added you know, bonus when it comes to some you know, of these teams and the games that they're going to be playing. But the playoffs, yeah. I mean, when I say warming to it, I don't necessarily mean that I love the structure, but having the three games on Wild Card Weekend is going to, you know, definitely increase, you know, viewership. It's more sponsorship. It's a lot more. This is something that is tailor made for the owners, because they're gonna all share in that wealth and that revenue.
That's why they all emphatically approved it.
Absolutely, yes. They dedicated the building to themselves. But no, I mean, I think you make a very, very interesting point about the first round bye, and to me, that's the point that I am not warm to yet. And there are a lot of reasons for that, but to me, the most important reason for that is you want your best football, and you alluded to this as well, my friend, just now. You want to see your best football out there on the field. That means that the top two teams in the conference that usually get a little bit of a respite will not have that anymore. That goes to the top team in the conference. the second team, now all of a sudden there's not a whole lot of motivation to be able to play for that second seed. And that's why I think a lot of times you might see these teams maybe even drop down. You're not going to see your best football at the end of the season anymore. It's going to mean you're kind of limping, groaning along toward it, especially if you have a team like right now, the defending world champions, Kansas City Chiefs. They make some tweaks on that defense. That team could be another juggernaut this year that goes through and wins 10, you know, 12, 13 games. If that's the case and they have the number one seed wrapped up by Thanksgiving, what does that do for the rest of the NFL season? All of a sudden, yeah, you're playing for seeding, you're playing for positioning, but everybody's going to play on that weekend. So it's all of a sudden, to me, I think it weakens the product a little bit. It puts more product out there, which is what the owners like, but I think it weakens the product a little bit. And it could also mean for, yeah, exactly. You know, quantity over quality. That's going to be that's going to be the argument here, and that's going to be really where this comes to fruition. So that's a point I do agree with you. That's a point I haven't warmed to yet. Yes, another team getting into the playoffs is exciting. It gives a team that's a bubble team, like a 9-7 or an 8-8 team that, you know, gets in, they have a shot now. But I think you made a good point about that, too. You know, play better. You know, be better. I think this is a reward of the media market rather than a reward of the actual team that gets in. Because you look at the teams that were on the bubble last year. Dallas could have made it. Los Angeles could have made it. There were some of these big market teams that could have made an adjustment to get in. So, you have to think Jarrah had his hand in this a little bit. So, I would imagine he had his hand in that a little bit. I want some playoff games over in Big D, but, in any case, we'll see. We'll see what happens and how this ends up shaking out. The players, I think, will put up a fight, but at the end of the day, the owner's going to come out on top, even if it's 51% to 49% in terms of who benefits the most. The owners hold the cards. It's like Vegas. You never beat the house.
Well, look, and let's face it. I mean, the players are never going to have any sort of advantage in these negotiations because football, unlike some of these other sports, you know, I don't, you know, you can't strike and lose a season because the shelf life of these guys' career, the length of their career, the average length of their career is so much shorter, and there's so little guaranteed money that really, you can't afford to miss a game. And when you're 23, 24 years old, and maybe you're a second or third string player who's probably got maybe 4 years in the league, are you going to sacrifice, $700,000, $800,000 to sit out to make more money for the guys at the top who are already making millions and millions of dollars? No, probably not. So, and there's a lot more of those guys than there are superstars. And we just
right.
think
Good
that
point.
There's more J.J. Watts and Richard Shermans and all those guys. But really, they're the minority in all this because there's only a handful of guys that are making, you know, that type of money out there. So, again, like, why would guys that are, you know, are probably only going to play until maybe they're 25, 26, they're going to go start a business and, you know, live the rest of their life. So why are they going to sacrifice that much money for – you know, what would probably be a negligible, you know, again, if they're fighting for things such as even health care and health insurance, it's still tough to justify. You know, maybe in hindsight, when you're 20 years older, you sit back and say, okay, maybe, you know, maybe I should have held out and sacrificed that year. But, at, you know, when you're 23 years old, you're not going to think about that. And you don't have to. You shouldn't have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, you shouldn't have to sit there and have to decide whether or not you need to sacrifice hundreds of thousands of dollars to potentially get a better working environment. You know what I mean? So, again, it's a tough position for these players, mostly the ones that don't make the big money to be in. Because, again, that's why it's like you see guys like the big guys that are making all these money, you know, sit there and rip the CBA and everything like that. And it's such a it's admirable from a PR standpoint because you sit up there and you're like, oh, great. Yeah, they're championing the fellow players. But in reality, you know, they got their best interests in mind, not, you know, not guy number 53. And I'm not saying all of them. Yeah. I'm sure guys, you know, each team has a player rep. Each team obviously has a very vested interest in getting this right. They're not just going to roll over. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying when push comes to shove, I don't know if the NFL has what it takes, and this isn't an insult. It's just a, you know, a matter of fact. It's the financial structure. It's the life of the NFL player. You know, the average career, all that plays into a factor. But I just don't think they have the what they call gumption or the will to sit out an entire season and sacrifice that money for the greater good. When especially you're not even guaranteed to win anything if you do. You know, look at the NHL. Player sat out an entire year and got a crap deal coming out of it. So, what are you going to do?
No, it's true. I mean, ultimately, the bottom line is the individual's bottom line, whether it's a superstar, whether it's an also-ran, whether it's a bottom-of-the-roster type player, or whether it's the owners. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all looking to pad their bottom line. They want to come out with as much in their pocket as possible as a result of this deal. And again, I think you brought, you know, that point up very well. It's always going to be in favor of the owners because they hold the cards in this. And I know that a lot of players can sit there and make the argument that it's going to be different. And look, I'm not questioning their resolve to be able to do it. They're, you know, I'm not questioning motives either. I mean, I think a lot of these guys, you know, have good intentions and good motives. But at the end of the day, in order to make sure that all of these players get their slice of the pie and they're able to make their living doing what they love to do, they have to concede a little bit. And at the end of the day, the owners know it. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I hope the NFLPA is able to, show a little bit this time around, get a good deal for both sides, and they come away with a little bit more. I would like to see some items when it comes to player safety added back into this agreement. I think you'll see the Players Association make a push for that. There's rumblings out there that disciplinary action might be something that the NFLPA is pushing to have a mandatory third-party arbiter. Stay tuned for that, folks. I'm sure old Raj is going to love that one, and I'm sure he's going to be very willing to fork over some of his ethereal power when it comes to that, to be able to do it. I don't think it's a snowball's chance in hell that gets passed, but we'll see. Who knows? Maybe the players dig in a little bit.
Unfortunately, Deflategate has kind of fizzled out here in the last couple of years. But, you know, if this is a negotiation coming off things like that and things like, say, the Zeke Elliott situation in Dallas, I'd imagine it would be getting more and more traction. But, you know, as is, you know, life, you know, it's just what has happened lately. And, you know, this is what that hasn't been, you know, the key story in the NFL as of late. So, you know, it is what it is. But real quick, we only have a few minutes left, about 5 minutes left. So I do want to bring up Kyrie Irving. He obviously, and our good friend Brian Snowman Snow, he'll, I'm sure, be talking about it on the Full Press NBA podcast, as well as Snowman in the Morning coming up here right after us. But Kyrie Irving is done for the season. Another injury-plagued year for the, the superstar point guard. I would never, ever, ever celebrate anyone being injured. I do, however, celebrate or being right in a way. Not me personally, just, you know, this whole shift away from Kyrie has been a bad breakup if you're a Celtics fan. And, you know, everything that's happened, everything that's kind of transpired since has kind of just given the Celtics fans more reason to believe that, hey, they ended up on the better side of things. And, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, well, you know, this will be good for the Nets when an aging Kevin Durant and an aging, well, not aging Kyrie Irving, but an injury plagued Kyrie Irving return next season. And it's like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, man, if I'm a Nets fan, like, good God, how can you be excited for the future? Like, I'm just sitting here waiting for them to, you know, get both out on the court and then, you know, it blow up in their face because we've, you know, again, you can question, Kyrie has all the talent in the world, but, you know, he certainly deserves questions when it comes to his ability to play with others and obviously be a quote-unquote leader. So, unfortunately for the person, you know, obviously an injury affects his everyday life, and we don't want to see that. But from a Celtics fan standpoint, I'm sure this is a bit of a further justification and further, just further emphasis on why the Celtics came out on the better side of things after this offseason.
Yeah, there's a lot of "I told you so"s going around in Boston this morning, and with you know, with due cause. Look, I agree with you. I never celebrate injuries, and I'm definitely not celebrating this one by any stretch of the imagination. But you know, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying, if KD were in the lineup right now, I don't necessarily know if Kyrie would be having the surgery right now. But you know, I'll digress. I think that, you know, maybe they're gearing up, like you said, to get both Kevin and Kyrie healthy, bring them on the court next year, and see what Brooklyn has. You make an excellent point. All of a sudden, KD's coming off of a debilitating injury, and Kyrie's coming off of surgery and another debilitating injury. So, do you get that lethal combination of Kevin and Kyrie that they were sold, that Brooklyn Nets fans were sold last year when these two guys made the decision to team up in Brooklyn? I think it's going to be an interesting year to see what they have. Obviously, this year is a lost year now for the Brooklyn Nets, but going to be a lot of eyes on this team in training camp next year to see what these guys look like. And ultimately, it's going to determine whether or not they, the moves that they made were solid. And it's an organization, unfortunately. I know they have their fans, and I know a lot of people get passionate about the Brooklyn Nets, but this is an organization that doesn't have too good of a track record with moves like this lately. I mean, you look at the move with Garnett and Pearson, bringing them in. That never worked out the way they hoped. This was a these guys were at the end of their run, and it just never materialized the way they had hoped. It really handcuffed them. It was a great deal for the Boston Celtics, who ended up getting a ton of draft capital, and now the team that they're building has really become a powerhouse in the NBA. So the Nets really need to hit on this one. And as for Kyrie, it's just, unfortunately, Celtics fans saw this coming. And if you're a Nets fan right now, you're probably rolling your eyes and saying maybe they were more right than we wanted to give them credit for.
They'll never admit that, but oh, you know that noise. Yes, that's right. I know it's bittersweet, because we know that this is the positive side to our show, the positive end to our show, but it is the end, and that means we're gonna have to say goodbye for the week. And we don't necessarily like doing that, because we do like being here with you each and every day here on Full Press Radio. And we will be back Monday, so it's not that big of a break, folks. And once again, like I said before, you're going to love the programming we have set up for you on Monday. That's right. Of course, Mike and I will be here 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Special guest Chris Mancuso of FPC NHL. We're going to be previewing the NHL trade deadline. That's right, folks. It comes at us hard and fast. Monday. That's what she said. Comes at you hard and fast on Monday. That's right. Starting at noon. We're going to be going for quite some time. Again, it's all about love here, Mike. We're keeping it on.
I'm not even going to touch that comment.
All about love. But
you know what? That was good. That was witty. I will give that to you. Kicked in on that one.
It was
buddy.
Very unintentional, and I obviously could not hold myself back. But no, we're excited to bring you.
All you need is a Val Venus clip to go right along with it. I think it'll be right there. So it'll be.
Don't even. Don't even.
There it is.
No. We will save that for Monday, because right now, like I said, we end every show very positively, and this is how we do it here on FPC Radio, with a little brother love action. And of course, he can't join us every day on the show, but when he does, it's always a blast. So this is the way we can honor him, and we can honor all of our brothers and sisters out there for tuning in and listening to us on Full Press Radio. So come back, join us on Monday. We'll be here. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at FPC Radio Live, at IGLEN31, and at MDABATEFPC. Have a great day, folks, and have a great weekend.